You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Do you read me? Do you read me? This is a quick blast from Transmissions from Atlantis.
Hey, folks. Welcome to our quick blast for Hellbent, the series finale for 2015 of Doctor Who. And technically, it's a two-parter, so it's Heaven Sent and Hellbent.
Yes.
So, let's talk Heaven Sent, a Doctor-only episode.
Heaven Sent, I believe, was probably one of the most brilliant episodes.
Yes.
That Doctor Who has had in a very long time.
Yep.
Just the, you know, when you're getting towards the end of that episode and you're finally understanding the magnitude of what's actually happening to him, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was a fascinatingly written episode. It was suspenseful. It didn't let you really know what was going on until the very end. And I thought Peter Capaldi in a one-man show was basically brilliant. I mean, he was amazing in that role. And he just owned the screen. He captivated you. It was very impressive.
You don't even know what to quite say about this episode just because of how brilliant it was. I think one of the most amazing moments in this episode is when you realize that that ocean filled with skulls
is all
belong to him.
Him, yes.
And to make it even more creepier, that's actually his skull.
Yep. Yes, because Peter Capaldi actually had the makeups folks create a skull based on his features. They wrapped him up and it's actually his skull.
So how creepy is it that you're filming this episode, you're holding this skull, and you know that's you?
Yes.
I mean, it takes a lot of acting chops to pull off what he did, knowing that you're holding your own skull. I mean, how deep and meaningful must that have been for him?
Yep. And this has been such an amazing season of Doctor Who, where you go from Davros to
spoilers,
the Doctor being stuck in his own confession dial and ending up in
spoilers
Gallifrey.
I know, it was like, what?
And at the end, you're like, he's been doing this for how long? A billion years?
No, it was 4 billion. 4 billion years in that confessional dial.
Yep.
What?
And he ends up in Gallifrey, the long way round.
That is definitely the long way around.
And the amazing thing is Gallifrey's back, but unknown to the Doctor, they put themselves at the end of the universe so that they wouldn't be discovered that they're back. So it's kind of like,
which I guess would make sense because by that time, you know, most races in the universe have already gone, you know, are
been
dead
extinguished,
and,
yeah,
and been extinguished. So there's nobody to know that they're there.
Right. You know, and any of their enemies or anything have already long died out as well. So it makes sense. But it was one heck of an episode. And I just can't put into words, and I know that's kind of our job here. We're supposed to be putting it into words. But the acting job that Capaldi did, it was like when that episode was over, you were just like, wow.
There are some very few episodes in the whole Doctor Who universe where the Doctor just becomes the personification of what the Doctor truly is.
Mm-hmm.
And it just amazes me that this is what we had hoped for Peter Capaldi from the beginning. This is just him at his absolute finest.
Yes.
And it blew my mind. It really did. And at the end of the episode when, you know, everything is now going into the constant loop and you're seeing that he's been there 50,000 years, and now 700,000, mm-hmm. and now it's been hundreds, thousands more, and then millions, mm-hmm. and then we get into the billions, and we're like, oh my God, what are they putting this man through? Yeah.
And each time he's hitting his fist on the ice, that was the only one thing that I didn't like about the episode. Where
what was the whole punching the diamond thing?
Diamond thing, yeah, I'm sorry, not ice, diamond thing. And it's kind of like, dude, grab something harder than your fist.
Well, I think the whole reason is because there wasn't anything else around him, and he's getting to that point where he's about to now loop around again.
Mm-hmm.
His fist is all he has.
Yeah.
And I was actually reading an article that somebody posted, is it physically possible for somebody to punch his way through a diamond wall that big?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have 4 billion years, sure, anything can happen.
Hmm.
And anything could be possible.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, if water can wear down rocks, mountains, and even diamonds over time, why can't a man's fist do the same?
Yep. The funny thing is that he always, because it said home on the diamond, he just assumed that was the TARDIS.
Yes.
But it was Gallifrey.
He didn't know it was Gallifrey. Yeah. I think he thought that it was his way out, that it was the TARDIS.
Yep.
But it wasn't the TARDIS.
And, I mean, the Doctor, without his sonic, without the TARDIS, and just using his wits about him to kind of figure out how to get himself out of this trap.
Yes.
It was amazing. It really was amazing. And that basically led us in a huge cliffhanger where the Doctor's back on Gallifrey. And the hybrid is coming. And is it the Doctor? Is it, you know, Mayor Me? Is it Dalek human hybrid? Or Dalek Time Lord hybrid? Yeah. We didn't know. So we had this huge buildup for Hellbent. And then Hellbent happens.
Spoilers.
Well, for the first half of it, it was really, really good. You know, because you're back on Gallifrey. You have the Doctor banishing the Lord Protector, you know, Rassilon. He basically ejects the entire Gallifreyan council.
You know what I mean? He's like, you're all fired.
Yep.
Rassilon, you're gone. Bye-bye.
And then...
And now he's Lord President.
Yep, and then he's Lord President again. And then it goes off the rails, because we have to make it about Clara again.
Okay. I know a lot of people have a huge problem because of the whole Clara thing. She died in that one other episode. Why couldn't she just be done there and just be done? Done with it
be
altogether,
done with it, yes.
Right? And even though I liked it when she was inside Heaven Sent, those little vignettes... Where he was within his own mind.
Yes, I'm good with that. That's fine.
I honestly didn't like the way they had killed her off at the end of that other episode.
Well, yeah, we talked about it. It was a terrible way to send her out. But she was done.
I get that. But they went back and I'm sure this is how it was always planned, you know, from the beginning, but... They gave her a different ending other than what we saw in that other episode. And I actually like it.
I didn't. But go ahead. Why do you like it?
Well, because her original death was meaningless.
Right.
It really was meaningless.
It's still meaningless.
No, it's not meaningless.
She's still going to die.
Yes. But on her terms now.
Yeah.
Before, it was the timer and
why?
She was going to die when she was going to die.
Why
but now,
do we have to make every companion a doctor? Because we did it with Rose when she became...
She didn't super become
time,
the doctor.
Super Time Lord Vortex Lady.
She was never the doctor.
You know...
She was never the doctor. She was Bad Wolf. That is completely different.
And then you did it with Dr. Donna. You did it with Amy, who became as important as the doctor, because she's... The woman by the crack.
I'm sorry. Amy, you can't lot her in with that. She was never absorbed by the time vortex or anything. Not like what happened to Donna
or even Rose. The reason why...
Not even close!
She was the reason why the universe was rebuilt like 3 times!
She wasn't the complete reason for it. She just happened to be caught in the middle of it. But she was never a doctor.
And then you
and
have
Clara
to
make... is not a doctor either.
She's practically the doctor. She's running the freaking her own TARDIS, and she has a companion in me. How is she not a doctor?
She is not a doctor.
She's immortal.
She is just a person who is frozen in time now. She's not immortal. She's dead. And she knows that she's going to have to go back to that death someday.
Right.
But she's running away from it.
The long way around, yes.
The long way around.
Just like the doctor said.
Okay, if you were in her position, would you run right back to your death? Or are you going to take that TARDIS and travel around?
No, I fully understand what she's doing. I just think it's crappy writing.
I don't think it was crappy writing.
Yes, I do.
I think that they gave her an out other than the meaningless death that they had originally given her. And I like it. I actually really love the fact that on top of the Doctor and his TARDIS, now you have a Shilda who totally deserves to be out there.
Yep.
And Clara out there in a different TARDIS.
And do you want to know how...
That looks like a diner. I thought that was cool.
And do you want to know how cheesy it is that they made her into Dr. Light? Ashilda says, oh, for some reason the chameleon circuit is stuck, so we're stuck as a diner. She's a freaking doctor!
She didn't say it was stuck, she just couldn't figure out how to work it. You've got two women now in another TARDIS who are literally just opening up that manual just to learn how to run
the thing.
I tell
you right now.
I think that's awesome.
I tell you right now, the only person that really loved that ending was Nicholas Briggs, the head of Big Finish. Because he's going to have a whole series of Ashilda and Clara audio adventures.
And you know what? I'll listen to it. Because it's probably going to be fun.
It's crap!
It is not
it's
crap!
It's crap!
Bull crap!
It gives her an out from the show. It gives her an in to Big Finish and to be able to continue her story.
It's crap.
It's not crap.
It's crap! One cool thing about the end of that episode was the Doctor has a Sonic again.
And I love his new Sonic. It looks totally badass.
I wonder if he's compensating for something because it's the biggest Sonic that we have seen yet.
I have a lightsaber that looks like his Sonic.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Sonic is about as big as a lightsaber. Have you seen the size of that thing?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It looks really cool. But you know what? At least it's not the shades anymore.
Yes. Although I always kind of liked the shades. I thought they were cool.
They were okay. But they weren't the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah. All right.
Seriously, Sonic shades?
Let's go ahead and rate this episode. Or these two episodes. Heaven Sent. What do you rate that one?
Heaven Sent, 10.
Yeah, that's 10. I mean...
There's just no doubt about that. It's the most brilliantly written Doctor Who episode in, like, forever.
I don't want to give Moffat that much credit, but... It was definitely very well written and very well acted by Peter Capaldi. It's absolutely a 10. Hellbent.
This is where I think you and I are going to really, really disagree. I'm not giving it a 10 because it wasn't Heaven Sent. I'm probably going to give it an 8. I still love the second half. I love the stuff with Claire. I thought it was a good out for her. Very good out for her. I would have loved to see a lot more about Gallifrey and about the hybrid.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the hybrid, well, let me give you my rating first. I'm going to give it a 6. And it only got a 6 because of the Gallifrey stuff. And the fact that he got his Sonic at the end. Other than that, the whole Clara line, it went off the rails for me as soon as Clara came back. Now, the one question before we leave that we must answer is that line of questioning between Ashilda and the Doctor.
At the end of the universe?
At the end of the universe.
Yes.
Where she asks him, why does a Lord of Time spend so much time on Earth? Is it possibly because he's half human?
Oh, they were totally, totally alluding to the fact that he is the hybrid.
Yep.
And that the hybrid, originally thought to be Time Lord Dalek or Dalek human or something mm-hmm. with the Dalek, has nothing to do with the Daleks at all. The hybrid
right.
is him. The
right.
hybrid is Time Lord with a human.
But he never confirms that.
No, he does not.
But he never denies that either.
And he does. You're right.
And that pissed me off to no end! Because I thought we had buried that with Paul McGann's Doctor, where it was just kind of like some kind of flippant comment.
Well,
that he said to Gracie.
It wasn't. I don't think anything that is said in the Doctor Who universe is done lightly. If they said that in the movie, Moffat is going to use it.
Although, you know, it kind of makes sense that that's why the Doctor has so much love for Earth. Is because he's half human on his mother's side.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that he's not a full-blown Time Lord. If he went to the Academy, he has his regenerations.
Mm-hmm.
He has two hearts. He is a Time Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But he is obviously half human, in my opinion, which is why he is who he is in the first place.
And also don't forget that he also accused Ashilda of being the hybrid as well. So
he did.
Yeah.
And I loved that you get to the end of the universe and the only thing still living is her.
Yep.
I thought that was fantastic.
Yep.
And after all of this that she's been through, she goes off and travels in a TARDIS.
And technically, the hybrids, both of them, were standing in the ruins of Gallifrey at the end of the universe.
Yes.
As the prophecy foretold.
Yep. Exactly. So... And remember, they were talking about that the hybrid wasn't just a doctor. The hybrid could have been him and another person. And it was, I think, him and Ashilda.
Yep.
Even though they were talking about the Master as well.
Yeah, they talked about Missy, too, because it was two opposing forces. Or two forces that are so alike, but so different.
Yeah.
So there was a lot to unpeel in that one scene.
I don't think we've seen the completion of the prophecy yet. I think there's more to come on the whole hybrid situation. Yeah.
And now that Gallifrey's back, things are going to be, you know, really crazy.
Oh, yeah. The Time Lords are back, man.
Yeah. And if you really think about it, you know, you have basically, with the Time Lords being back, you have the Lord Protector out there in the universe who's going to want revenge against the Doctor.
Of course he will. And you know he's probably going to regenerate into a younger foe.
Yeah, and the High Council's probably out there somewhere, too. You know, so... It's going to be really, really interesting to see how that all works.
I was seeing on Facebook that some people were miffed because the Lord President Regan had regenerated into a woman.
Why? We've already seen it how many times now?
Exactly. And I don't know why people are even miffed about this. And I loved how, you know, as soon as her regeneration was done, she was like, "Oh, thank you. I'm back into a female body," because apparently
the male body was not her
cup of tea.
Yeah, or her normal.
Or her normal type of regeneration. Yeah. So she was a woman again, and she was happy for it.
And the one line where she's like, I can't understand how you can deal with the ego.
I hope we see her come back again, because I really like her character.
Yeah, it was interesting. So... And that's just another situation of Doctor Who establishing that a male Time Lord can turn into a female Time Lord, and a female Time Lord can turn into a male Time Lord.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing.
Nope.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Here's another thing I didn't get about the episode. What was the whole point of the Sisterhood of Karn being there?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
That didn't quite make sense. I mean, what it feels like they were there to witness something, but I'm not sure what they were witnessing.
Well, she said it, you know, the Doctor returns to Gallifrey. I want to see the fireworks. That was her line.
But when he escaped at the end with that other TARDIS, she was obviously kind of mad about it.
Yeah.
She, like, went off in a huff, and that's the last we saw of her in that episode.
Yeah, I don't know what their purpose on that episode was, but... Or just to have somebody be huffy? I don't know.
I mean, in the past, we know that they've been there in order to guide the Doctor when he's in need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we saw the Night of the Doctor when Paul McGann's Doctor regenerated. And we've seen them in other situations as well where they're kind of trying to guide him or give him advice or something. So what they were doing in this episode didn't quite make sense to me.
Well, she was also trying to make sure that he made the right decision in regards to Clara, which he still didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what did you think of the ending of the episode? I know we've already given our ratings or whatever, but I just... the very ending where instead of Clara losing her memories, it ended up being the Doctor.
I think it was great because now that he doesn't quite remember who she is... He's not going to go off finding her.
Mm-hmm.
He may encounter her again. Who knows? But he's not going to know who she is. And the fact that she had come back to make sure that he was okay. And that the diner was the same diner as
The Impossible Astronaut.
Yeah, The Impossible Astronaut.
Which, of all the diners she could pick, that's the diner she picks for her TARDIS?
And I thought it was great that she made sure she was okay. He was okay. Sent him off. It was very obvious that Clara and Ashilda are the ones who found his TARDIS and brought it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on his merry way, and they went on their merry way, and yep. That's it.
Yeah,
I think it was a great ending.
Hmm. I don't know. All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for this quick blast. Of course, we have episode 104 out already, where we talk about The Walking Dead and all kinds of other goodies. And coming up next for us is going to be episode 105, where we're going to have our big Star Wars episode.
Star Wars!
Yes.
Woohoo!
And of course, we'll be also reviewing the Doctor Who Christmas episode.
So we're going to be talking about the movie. We're going to be talking about all the events that are going to be taking place. The awesome new Star Wars merchandise that's out there.
Yep, that'll be coming up shortly after Christmas. So definitely check it out. And as always, you can check out our latest episodes, all our information. We have all of our crazy articles, everything that's going on with us on transmissionsfromatlantis.com. Also, if you haven't already, make sure you put your pledge in for Kickstarter for Mystery Science Theater 3000. Bring back MST3K.com. It is the final hours, folks, so if you don't get it in by 10 p.m. on Friday, it's too late. So get out there, support Crow and Tom Servo and, of course, Joel, and bring back MST3K. All right, until next time, folks.
Elonzi.
Elonzi. Goodbye, everybody.
When one speaks of the perfect symmetry between science fiction, fantasy, and horror podcasting, with a special emphasis on Doctor Who, one should become a connoisseur of Transmissions from Atlantis, featuring JC and Rita Della Torre. While both will have a passionate and vigorous argument on the subject of the day, they do so with the utmost class.
Harry Potter fan that thinks they're the only fandom that has passionate fans. That's a bunch of crap.
You know what? That is bullcrap. Harry Potter fans do not believe that way, and I don't even know where you're pulling that
from. Well, that's absolutely what you just said.
The whole point.
Respect.
What? That wasn't stupid.
You're stupid.
Stupid.
And dignity.
Commander Riker here! I'm by the book!
Prime Directive, kind of
guy. Prime Directive!
Join Transmissions from Atlantis weekly at transmissionsfromatlantis.com and part of the ESO network. Yes, it's quite good, really.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.